You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Yeah, like I said, no. Everything I've bought from Razer is most of the time has been a piece of junk. They will have issues, and sometimes they'll be working golden. It's beautiful, but most of the time, piece of junk, and we'll have issues.
I suspect this is just an issue that I haven't been able to take the time to take care of my systems.
No.
The last few days, it's been a mess.
No. It's probably just a Razer thing, because it's Razer. Okay. All right. Don't give Razer any. Don't give him any quarter. Okay. It's all Razer. Anyways, welcome to an exciting episode of Low Key on the Real Libertarians Network. I am your host for this evening. My name is Harry, a.k.a. The Moving Target. Technically, it's the first Monday of Pride. We were off last weekend for the holiday. I spent the day with family and showing my daughter some photos of her grandpa and her great-grandpa. So, so that's what I was doing last week. So instead of doing this episode, I prefer doing that. It was more fun. But here I am with you guys. Anyways, let me introduce the guests and we'll get to our topic. You'll see. Let me get everyone in here. It's like, so we've got Ryan Holm, as you see him, newest addition to having Razer products connected to his computer, and he finding out how much of a slug POS that is.
Well, it's not just the Razer camera. I also have a mouse and a keyboard that I just got. So, decided it was time to replace my old keyboard. It was getting a little worn.
Oh, nice.
Now it's all nice and pretty, and all of the colors are all rotating the same, and it's all. Great. Nobody can see it. So.
Great. Yeah, you finally hit your e-girl moment. That's great. I'm really proud of you.
I'm a ooh it. Come on, let's go.
Is that what the new camera's for? And you got the two drawing, too. Are we going to get waifu right home?
I'll try to do some VTuber. I was looking at doing some VTuber stuff. Because nobody wants to see this face. I mean, seriously, nobody's tuning into this show live, the video, because I've got the camera on. If I do camera off, you guys probably have more people show up.
Should we all turn our VTuber models on? This would be the episode to do it. Anyways, we're going to be distracted after. We also got Vincent over the corner. VTuber, connoisseur or VTuber critic.
Rude?
All right. VTuber enjoyer. Neither.
Yeah, exactly. VTuber enjoyer.
Casual.
Casual VTuber enjoyer. I've seen people donate way too much money to stream to VTubers.
Hey, you leave yourself alone. Don't beat
yourself. Whoa. I don't do that, sir.
So I heard a phrase this morning. Maybe you guys can help me with, and I'm sure I'm getting it wrong.
Oh, no.
But it was something about chocolate pudding.
Oh, no.
What is this?
Anyway, so... We just got live. Why are you asking about chocolate pudding?
I don't know what it means. What it means in the context of ooh culture or whatever culture I'm talking about.
No.
Oh my God. Come on, I'm trying not to sound too boomery right now.
I'm the hip.
I heard it on Drama Time on Preach's show, so I'm just kind of curious what was going on. He was
Are you a winning son?
I don't know what Drama Time. I do know Preach. Are you instead of Preach? Like Preach or like Evan Preach?
Preach, the streamer Preach.
Yeah, Preach.
Preach for the win. Yeah. He's been playing Guild Wars 2 the last couple months.
Preach is playing
different, Guild Wars. Different Preach here.
Oh, yeah. Preach. Oh, I was going to say. Must be a different Preach, yeah.
Different
old WoW guy.
I'm gonna go stop.
Different Preach here.
Like you could beat me up in real life. I can get you there. I got you there.
No, the Preach I'm talking about is he's been doing like WoW for years and years, and then he decided to go and try out some other MMOs, and he's loving Guild Wars 2, so he's having a ball with it.
God, I was going to create a hexer called just pearly things and just destroy.
Oh, God. Jesus.
Just go attack him and just troll him for no reason.
Stop.
Troll him.
Terrible. Oh, God.
But no, okay, wrong breach. Okay. All right, That's cool. Yeah, that's what's up.
But he's been doing something called Drama Time every week for 5 years, I think, and where he gets people telling them stories about their misfortunes with guilds inside of MMOs, and they're hilarious. And he does a good job of reading them in a funny way and laughs the whole time. And okay. Yeah, I'm really liking it. So
okay,
getting into that lately.
That's fair. Well, as someone who has bought many Razer products, I will tell you this. They all suck. Their laptops, the phones, the Razer headbuds. Okay, so I actually have bought, I got the Razer headbuds, right? Because I wanted a set of wireless headbuds, so I got the Razer ones, right? And I want you to know, I thought they were badass for the first week. And then they fell while I was working out. Never worked again.
This section is brought to you by Corsair.
God, that would have been a great segue into these headbands if I had
you mean like this mouse here, this Corsair mouse?
This Corsair just brought to you by Corsair.
I just so happen to be rocking the Corsair mouse.
Yeah. No. We're brought to you by Jabra. Oh my god. Anything, but yeah. But no, I got a Razer mouse and a Razer keyboard. I got clearly the Razer Kraken kittenages, and I'm probably going to buy the next Razer Kraken cat I'm going to probably buy those. I want them. I've been resisting you not buying the idea. The only thing that makes me stop buying is wanting to drop $200 on a headset. I'm good. These still work. You know, $200 just for cat ears. Okay. You know, maybe if I get some for Ryan.
$5.99.
Hey, I still got a cable. Look, bro. I got a cable. No, we get Ryan on some cat ears though. Ryan, you want some or bunny ears? They got bunny ears on theirs. But no, like I honestly want to believe in Razer, and honestly, like, I was really let down by their support of their phone. Okay, that really let me down, because like the idea of like mobile gaming, but the idea of just wanting, like, I liked the things they were doing with their phone. You know, it was a different Android OS, different customization, got RGB, okay, on your phone.
But here's the thing, Harry. It's a different world now. Now, if you want something to be true, you just believe it to be true, and it's true, right? You just, you know, Trump didn't do anything wrong. You know, it's fine. You know, it's okay. Whatever you want it to be. So if you want Razer to be great, Razer's great. What are you saying?
For a minute, I thought you were just on TikTok and into those number people. It's like, if you want it to be true, you just got to say it and believe it, and then use these numbers, 7, 8, 4, 3, 2.
Materialize it.
Yeah. These are the secret codes to say into the simulation to make that.
You don't have to do that anymore. You just put it out there, and it becomes the truth. It's the world we live in today.
It is.
Materialize it.
It is. You know, that's fine. Well, like, Ryan, like, even if that was true, people memory hole so many things, it doesn't even matter anymore.
I follow politics for a while. Okay,
really?
you may have heard this before, but from 2016 on, it has been just nonstop so much crap that you forget what happened 4 months ago, because there's always something else coming the next day. Mm-hmm. There's a new thing. Yes. It's been insane.
Yes.
People are tired of it. Let me tell you right now, people are exhausted. But there's so much stuff that, you know, people, like, there's a guy who we were just talking about who's currently saying that, oh, Trump's not done anything that no other politician's ever done. And I'm like, you know, Let's go back and examine all the things you've apparently forgotten over the past 5 years.
All right. To help that guy out, is he talking recent president?
Oh, my
American
God.
President?
No. Here, let me read what he wrote. Trump is no different from any other politician before him. He's done the same shit every politician has ever done.
Okay. All right. So I think we need to. No.
And
no,
I responded he's wrong. The dumbest thing I've heard all day.
Okay. He's only right if you conclude Andrew Jackson, Abraham Lincoln, Putin,
FDR.
It's really bad ones, honestly. You gotta go like
you gotta really scrape it to get that. I mean,
I know. It's okay. One of these days, someone will find.
I know we're gonna talk about something else today, but
yes, we are.
Indictments may be coming this week. I'm just saying there may be an indictment this week.
Yeah. It's okay.
They're both the grand jury's having a thing that this week to determine whether they're gonna indict. It'll be fun.
It's okay. It's all fun.
It could be espionage charges. Might happen. We'll see. See, right now, there's only one person.
I was talking before espionage.
That was 100 years ago.
Vincent and I were talking.
So,
for Pride Month, and we're celebrating Pride Month. Vincent had this great idea for a topic. How about you introduce the topic?
Yeah, thank you.
Where's all our rainbow stuff at? Come on, let's get it. Let's go.
So on Friday, me and Harry and producer Paul were hanging out, and I was like, "Oh, well, it's Pride Month. It'd be funny if we did we could totally do an episode about LGBT representation in anime and stuff." Mm-hmm. I said it as an offhand, jokey comment, thinking that, oh, he would probably forget about it. And then when I asked what the topic for the day was, he's like, we're talking about that, right?
Yeah, the thing, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, sure, fine, whatever. Let's do it. We'll do it live.
Which is great because, because if you're an 80s, 90s, anime person, myself, yeah. We only got, sprinkles, because as far as I know,
you mean cousins, right?
We got sprinkles before 2010, we just had cousins, best friends, roommates, wasn't nowhere near any of that.
So, the most infamous ones that people know about is because when Sailor Moon was translated. Their Sailor Uranus and Sailor Neptune were a lesbian couple. But when they brought it to English, they localized it, they didn't want to say that they were two women dating, so they called them cousins. Mm-hmm. And even though they were doing very romantic partner things, they called them cousins. Because they thought that the Western audience would accept cousins way more than they would. Yeah. Yeah. Right, Reinhold?
But that doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all.
I mean, I was just watching somebody react to Life of Brian today. Mm-hmm. And in Life of Brian, there's a whole scene about somebody who wanting to be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Loretta, call me Loretta. Mm-hmm. That's the whole trans thing in the 70s.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah,
yeah, but the English translators were going, well, we don't want to take the we don't want the kids who are watching this to know about this, so we're gonna make them cousins, even though it makes no sense at all. And almost all their dialogue about them loving each other and being really close, they're just really close cousins,
really close, really close.
We call that kissing cousins.
But Sailor Moon was a very great example of one of the early shows that were not afraid to show that kind of representation.
Mm-hmm.
That not only was Uranus came off as very androgynous, her attire, she wore suits and was very much showed was gave off more of like a Playboy aesthetic when they were, when she wasn't transformed. But they were lesbians, and they also there was one scene in particular where the main character gets the main character Serena or Usagi, depending on which one you want to watch it. She gets confessed to by one of her classmates, and she goes, "I completely understand it. There's no issues with it. I just like somebody else. So you do you, but I have somebody else I'm attracted to." And they just took it straight as face value, without any worries, without any going crazy about it, that demonizing or anything. They just like, this happened.
Can you explain that to him? Because he's looking at you like, what? Confessed to?
Oh, well, in Japanese culture, when they go, for you to ask somebody out, it's usually a gesture of you confess your feelings and they reply. But it's usually much more of a gesture of like a process. So you, most of the time, they'll give them a letter to meet up, and then they will express their feelings, and the other person has an option to reject it or accept it.
Yeah. So it's like Dwight Schrute when in his culture, where you put the raven beaks at the foot of the woman you want to date, she has to crush them. That's a sign of acceptance, right?
Okay. Yeah.
A little office humor. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's much more structured, and it's very much a, it puts both people on an even footing when it comes to like a romantic, because it's because both sides can confess. There's not a lot of pressure for men have to confess to women and women have to confess to men, but it's also very much in Japanese culture. There's a lot of balance to it. So like for Valentine's Day, Valentine's Day is about the girls, but a month later is White Day, in which the girls give the boys who gave them Valentine's things in return.
Yeah.
Lady Hawkins.
Yeah, basically.
Like yeah, a lot of those traditions or stuff like that, like in America, that would a lot of people like do like about. That's what some people like, get drawn to Japanese culture is some of those rules or unspoken rules that they go through.
Right.
They like wish American society would have something like that. So just be so free, you can do what you want. But you know, some people want some of that little cultural rigidity.
Yeah, there's so like that. That's just part of one of the things that happens. So like when people confess, it's much more of a, hey, I'm telling you I want to meet up so I can tell you my feelings. Tell your feelings, and then you get a response in return.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's very, honestly, it's very formal, and it feels like a way better way of getting your feelings across to people.
You know, versus, you know, like, what? Like, what?
I bought her 3 drinks, bruh. Why is she going out, man?
Bought her 3 drinks. Hey. Yeah. What are you doing? Find it. B word. Blocked.
Yeah. Or do what Rocky did in first Rocky movie with Adrian. Which is very uncomfortable. You watch people watching that now, and they're just like very uncomfortable in that scene. It's like,
right, don't stop that.
Back on topic.
This is media too. This is
yeah.
God, no cringe rapey 80s.
70s, buddy. 70s.
Oh no, Dr. No means no, Reinhold.
I'm more talking about like some of the earlier things, because once you get closer to modern day, there's been a lot of expanse and more acceptance of it, because Japan is becoming, like, anime is becoming more accepted in the West, so they feel more comfortable releasing this kind of stuff. So I'm kind of going back in time right now to, like, some of the older things, some of the earlier representations of stuff. So even the anime that I briefly talked about in my 3x3, Ranma 1/2, the premise is a male gets a curse that he turns into a woman when he gets hit by hot water and turns back to a man if he gets hit by cold water. And he lives his life dealing with both sides of that. And he, throughout the entire series, he has a fiance that sticks with him through the entire ordeal. But he accepts being both the man and a woman. He is very gender fluid and accepts that he's still just himself, no matter which body he's in at the time. and a lot of characters are still attracted to him on both sides. So it's one of those really early representations of that kind of thing. Another earlier representation of like of a trans person is not only Ouran High School Host Club. When I talked about Ouran High School Host Club, there is the main character Haruhi, who is also androgynous herself. Her whole aesthetic is meant to be, she looks very androgynous, to look both like a male or a female, because she doesn't really care about gender. Her at the beginning of the series, you find out her mother is dead, and she's living with her other parent, who is a trans woman.
Yes.
And she's just fully embraces being a trans woman, and nobody has any issues with it. She's just a trans woman. Mm-hmm. And at first people are like, what? And then they're like, oh, cool. This is how it is. And they just and this is part of the character. It's one of those early representations of like, this is a thing that exists. Mm-hmm. And even the host club and premise in general is two dudes flirt with each other to make girls swoon. This is what it is.
The twins.
Yeah, that's what it is. They flirt with each other to make the bored high school girls swoon over them being flirting.
So, like, I you know, kind of, you know, so that had to get localized in.
that one, they didn't care because they were like, whatever. yeah, whatever. It's fine.
Crap.
We'll take that.
We're just going to allow that. What? Yeah. That you allow.
But the cousins, they're now cousins now. Cousins another
and roommates.
Another early representation is an anime called Kashimashi Girl Meets Girl. And the whole premise is the main character gets hit by a spaceship. And when the person when the aliens who hit him realize what they did, they try to rebuild him, and the only DNA they had was enough to make him into a female. Mm-hmm. And it's him coming to terms with him being in a female body because he can't go back because his original body's destroyed. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting because the catalyst for him to be in the location that he was that he confessed to a girl that he liked and she turned him down because he was a boy. And when he comes back as a girl, she's all over him because she liked him anyway, but he wasn't what she wanted at the time.
Slowly trying to remember this episode because like, can I remember this premise?
So You've watched it. It's on your list. It's on your. It's on the spreadsheet.
Maybe I didn't watch this.
But it's a very interesting series watching as the characters come to terms with him, the person they've known for so long. Because like his childhood friend, his neighbor, has been with him since they were their kids, and so used to him being a boy that is so freaked out and can't seem to wrap her head around him being a girl now.
Yeah,
and it caused her so much trouble trying to put two and two together, going through that at least for the first parts of the series until she starts to understand that it's still him, no matter what body he's in. Which is one of those things that it's something that doesn't get talked about nearly as much. And that people still deal with the gender dysphoria and certain aspects of it when they're in these different bodies. You know, Cowboy Bebop had I can't remember what his name is, the one with gender dysphoria, because of the war. Yeah, there's a character that got experimented on during the war that gave him breasts and he has massive gender dysphoria because he doesn't it feels like it doesn't belong to him and he doesn't want those on him.
Right.
And it was basically put on him against his will, and he doesn't enjoy having it, but he's accepted as part of his life.
Quick,
Google search,
because like even in the anime, like you don't notice it until they get exposed.
You know,
going through it is just some guy And then it's like, you're shocked as a viewer, and Faye is shocked at the exact same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When it happens, he's dealing with that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So those are some of the earlier things. Some of the things that did get brought over, but they were more rare, and some of them got changed so that fits the what they thought was the delicate American culture.
Yeah. And then there's Ed also.
Yeah, of course. Ed, who's basically gender neutral, borderline. There's really no way of... Ed's Ed. Yeah, really. Yeah, and it's one of those things. He's like, well, Ed's Ed, you know.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. So, very early on, they're willing to tackle a lot of these themes, because there's one of the other things about anime is that there's a lot more leeway to deal with mature themes than a lot of other cartoons and stuff that people think about, because anime is treated so strongly as a storytelling medium.
Mm-hmm.
And as time has gone on in the West, and Western culture is becoming more prevalent and more accepting of, and more vocal about, like, the LGBT community and their likes of it, and then them also embracing anime, there's a lot more of that anime started to come out in the West and becoming popular. One of the first really popular ones that a lot of people know about is Yuri on Ice. Yuri on Ice is an ice skating anime that's a BL. It's a boy's love story. Yeah.
But you say Yuri on Ice.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. That's the point. That's why it's hilarious. Yeah. One of the characters' name is Yuri. He is named Yuri.
All right. It's getting off the reading list.
But for point's sake,
this all sounds... Reinhold, yeah, this all sounds woke to me. Right?
Wow.
for point
zero,
Japan's woke. Is that it?
What Harry was confused about is in Japan, they have, when they use LGBT cultures, they label things based on, they have labels level for each category. So Yuri is like girl's love, and Yaoi is guy's love. And since it's a guy's love story and the title's Yuri on Ice, that's why Harry was confused.
Confused. Yeah, really confused. And even looking at it going like, oh, I'd have been upset if I downloaded this, but I would have finished.
Yeah, but it was, but like the animators who did it were really invested and drew and just animated these ice skating. Oh yeah, it's amazingly well animated ice skating scenes. Mm. There's that, and there's Free, which was a swimming BL story that got really popular.
The only thing I think of when you're talking now is, because you said boy love, is that there's Scrubs had a song that
guys they love.
Used to sing called Guys
Love. Mm-hmm. Yep.
It just keeps going through my head.
It's Guys Love.
It's all it is.
If you listen to that rewatch podcast, they sing it a lot.
Fake Doctors, Real Friends.
Yep.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Yeah.
One of my favorites.
I know. I was really cheated during that T-Mobile commercial that they did continue on with singing. It's just like, you know what? Come on, make a new Grease movie with them. Just keep going. Continuation.
one thing I think is funny is watching how kind of society kind of goes up and down on this whole thing, because right now the whole acceptance of LGBT things is having a fight. It's starting to go maybe down on less acceptance. I mean, it's hilarious to watch people sit there and talk about Star Trek and how Star Trek is now woke and how did it get this way. And it's like, you guys don't realize the original Star Trek was literally designed to be his idea of liberal society and what liberal society should be.
Exactly. Yeah,
like he was pushing
Kirk fucks aliens.
It was the most woke purposely thing that you could have at the time, and these people, you know, grew up and loved it. Mm-hmm. And now they're all complaining because it's being ruined. I'm like, this is exactly what Star Trek is. It's what it was supposed to be.
New Star Trek sucks, not because it's gotten political. It sucks because the writing's crap. All right, let's be honest.
Strange New Worlds is good.
I keep saying it to me.
I haven't seen it. It's good though.
That is season three. Everyone keeps like saying like season three Picard. And I'm just like, I can't.
I've been hearing that. I've been hearing season three of Picard is really, really well done. And I was so disappointed with season one. And I'm like, well, I want to watch season two because I love Q. I haven't got to it yet, but now everybody's saying three is really great. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to sit through all this. Man, they really ruined the end of season one.
I'm too scared to leave the Lower Decks to go look at anything else. That's the only thing I have is Lower Decks.
Well, Strange New Worlds season two is coming out soon. You want to check it out. It's
apparently really there's a Lower Decks crossover with one of the shows that I've got to like watch.
Oh, I'm yeah.
Like,
oh. It's going to be a crossover. It's going to be funny.
But so... more and more that these series are coming out, even going up to modern times where you see series that have been going on for a long time embrace, you know, the LGBT community, because the current Gundam season, which has made Gundam its most profitable it's been in 30 years and the third most profitable thing for Bandai Namco, is based around The Witch of Mercury, which is Yuri or Girls Love, because the main couple are two girls. And a series as old as Gundam that's been around for, what, 30 years? If not more.
40.
If not more.
Yeah, we're 40 yeah. now. It's 40.
Is this the one Gundam that Harry doesn't like because it's popular?
No, I just haven't watched it yet. No, I'm really interested. I like some of the themes on it. It looks really neat, but like it's actually my way to watch it legally here in the United States. I don't want to do it.
it's funny watching that series because I've watching the Gundam, like the best summation of Witch of Mercury is Yuri fans learning about war crimes and Gundam fans learning about Yuri angst. And like the girls love angst, which is hilarious because they're in like the second half of like the first season basically, and it has definitely gone way more war crimes now.
The war crime writers have the pen.
Yeah, the Gundam war things, crimes. The military actions against each other things are happening again, where the giant robots fight each other and kill people.
All right. Rhino's probably like, what do you mean by war crimes? War crimes are like poison gas, hitting a human with a round designed for a tank, running over a human being with a tank,
shooting a spaceship that is with bullets, which are banned because laser weapons are more efficient, and bullets, since you're not prepared for bullets, it rips through holes because you're not ready for bullets. Cause space.
Yep.
Hey Christy.
Happy birthday.
But it's very interesting watching as these stories start to get more and more coverage and are actually able to become popular and people really want to watch them. Like the first part of this year, like the January span of anime, the most popular anime that season was Magical Revolution, that I was talking about at the beginning when I was like the things I was looking forward to for the year. That was the most popular anime of that season, and it's a Yuri story, and it's all that's what it is. It's literally canonically the two main characters get married. Like that's how it is.
Which episode?
12.
Oh man,
it's 12 episodes.
Wow, Spy X Family is already like affecting. All anime and manga going forward, like we got to get them married in the first few episodes. That is 300 episodes.
12 of 12. So 12 of 12.
300 episode art crap. Okay. They're going to get this done.
But it wasn't just because of what it was, because it was Yuri. It also because of it was a fantasy story that used a lot of like Magitek. And the main character can't use the magic of the world, so she's using the technology that she knew from the past life, which she doesn't really remember, to, you know, advance culture forward. And the actual fantasy and Magitek aspects of it were also massively carried it forward, because and very well done animation for action scenes and them fighting a giant fucking dragon, which always helps.
Yeah, generally.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, dragons help everything. Yeah.
But it's like so far this year and even going on in the next year, they've announced so many like LGBT narratives that were never really seen in like this. So before last year, there had only been like 10 Yuri anime for the past 10 years that came out. And there's been 10 in the last two.
I found the onsen pictures for Yuri's on Ice.
Sorry. Yeah. And it, seeing that that's the level of acceptance it is, and that even more just grounded down to earth things, like one of the animes this season called Skip and Loafer, which is like a slice of life, just like a romantic comedy story. One of the main characters, she lives with her aunt, who is a trans woman. And they go, yes, she's trans, and they just leave it alone. They let her just live her life. They don't put massive focus on it. They don't force her down. It's like, oh, we're going to focus on her and her struggles. It's like, she's just a person who happens to be trans. And it's very nice to see when they don't like force focus on that's who this character is.
Just that one aspect of a character. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's watching series being able to come out to acclaim and people really enjoying it without them hard focusing on the fact that that's what it is helps a lot, in my opinion. It's also very interesting to see how culturally it affects Japan, because Japan as a culture is very conservative. They are not fans of the LGBT a lot.
Yeah, they make a lot of yaoi for that, though.
I know, it's crazy, but they're very conservative. The closest thing they have to same-sex marriage is same-sex partnerships, which aren't legally binding at all. Mm-hmm. But if you have it, you can, you know, have hospital visits and that kind of stuff and insurance stuff. But if like you can't get inheritance, you can't, you know, go to their funeral. Mm-hmm. You can't head the funeral of the person that you're partnered with because they're not legally bound together. And that it's crazy to me to think that there's so much of this that's finally coming out and being shown while there's so much of that same culture, much like ours, because Western culture, as Reinhold said, it's been going up and down. They're fighting a lot right now. But if you're not looking for it, if you're not paying attention, you'll just see that everybody accepts it.
Right.
Because this is what, if you're around people that accept it, you just accept it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a lot of the things that happen in Japan. There's not all of Japan recognizes even same-sex marriage, period. If you're married somewhere else and you come in, they don't even recognize it.
Yeah.
In certain parts of it.
Yeah.
And it's that aspect of it creates a narrative, a part of the narrative that is distinctly a issue for LGBT communities, where they have to come to terms of being accepted by the people that they care most about. The perfect example I have of this is there was a manga I read that I have up here. It's called Making Progress Towards the Deadline. And the main character is in school, and there's this news that you can marry partners and everybody's okay with it. And she's having talks with her friends in class, and they were like, hey, yeah, if I knew somebody gay, I would appreciate them. I would respect them. I would totally respect them doing that. So she comes out to her friends. And the next day she comes to school and she's like a pariah. And they all treat her like she's nothing. It's like, I just think it's gross and I don't want you anywhere near me because, you know, that's like what if you want to touch me or whatever? And one of the characters is like, come on, guys, she's looking pitiful. Leave her alone. and she beats that kid's ass. And he's like, how dare you look down on me? And when she gets home, she doesn't get in trouble for beating that kid up. Her parents are mad at her for saying that she's gay. Mm. And then it's like, oh, it's just a phase. Why would you say that? You're disrespecting our family. Why would you even do that?
Mm-hmm.
And then she leaves to go live with her sister in Tokyo, which is, mm-hmm. you know, much more accepting and of the LGBT community there. But it's one of those things where that's a massive immediate gut punch of mm-hmm. watching this person think that they have a group of people that accept them for who they are. And when they come out and say, hey, this is who I am, right. they immediately reject her.
Exactly. Yeah.
And treat her like she's nothing.
And that's why, like, so many people like are afraid to come out mm-hmm. out of the closet because of those things like that, because those are, you know, or in some cases legitimate fears.
Yeah.
You know,
it's always been interesting to me where people say, oh, they're just pretending to be because it's the new cool thing. I'm like, it's still not the new cool thing. It's still a terrible thing you have to, you know, to deal with. And it's like, sure. life is hard enough. You know, you get this thing to deal with too, on top of it, you know, just most people are like, life's pretty hard. I said, yeah, but you don't have this on top of it and this on top of it and this on top of it as well. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's the whole idea behind privilege that everybody gets wrong. It's frustrating, but
yeah. You can have, some people are there instances of situational privileges that you may or may not have. Yeah. But those are small situations. Right. Not a overarching. Just,
The way I look at it, the way I explain it is just like everybody's got enough shit to deal with in their lives. Life's hard as it is.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Everybody has to eat a shit sandwich every day. Let's try to make the shit sandwich not quite as shitty for some people. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
why not fix the things we can fix, you know, and make it so that everybody still has to eat the crap sandwich, but it doesn't have to be a double, you know, or a triple,
yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. with fries and everything else.
Yeah. Yep. It's one of those scary situations of it's always an added element to those narratives of the, especially if it's like romance or anything along those lines, of this character now has to think of the cultural impact of them being attracted to somebody and mm-hmm. what they would and why they would be afraid to even say their feelings or even interact with how this person in the way they want to. And it creates a completely different level of stress or conflict in a narrative. And because it's still very niche writing, a lot of the LGBT stuff is very niche when mm-hmm. they're writing into it. It's, when people write it, they have much more of a passion. So when they want to tell a story, they're going to try a lot harder to get their story told because there's a lot fewer avenues for them to get their stuff published. There is really only one big Japanese publication for like Yuri and Yaoi, and each of them only have like really one big one that releases monthly. And even then, they have to cycle through who they already have signed to release stuff in their books at that month.
Yeah.
So when people release stories that they're really passionate about, it's, you can tell because they're not just doing it to like make a cash grab or fan service or purposely go out of their way to try to get eyes on it fast. And that's one of the things that I have a massive issue with a bunch of the stuff that's happening in anime, because a lot of it is like, let's pump out the next isekai. Let's make the next most absurd thing. Oh, what haven't we sent somebody in another world with? We've already done cell phones and magic swords and blah, blah, blah. And it's like,
have you seen the new one? How many
tentacles can we put in this thing?
Which one?
I'm sent to another world to do horse raiding, but I've got a Mustang.
Don't want to give that one out. There was... Literally, I saw one earlier that was a killer shark in another world. Yeah, he's got a shark into a fantasy world for whatever reason.
Oh my god, it's real.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw it with my own eyes, sir. They made one where the guy gets reincarnated as a vending machine. He's a vending machine.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen the vending machine. Well, that was like, I didn't want to believe that one was real either. All right, it's just
vending but machine. A lot of those times it feels very repetitive and boring that they just keep running these same ideas over and over and over. Prodigy child, magic powers, everybody loves them, the world's all about them. That's why everybody wants to be them, and if they don't want to be them, they want to be with them. And when things feel like generic like that, it's refreshing when somebody puts out a story that is very personal to themselves.
So,
yeah.
Are you feeling that a lot of these stories are going out and it's helping change the like feelings or like political opinions in Japan? Or do you feel that it is keeping everything stagnant? You know, because like I look at Asian like politics, but this is just an area I just don't listen to because like, yeah.
It's definitely helping because they literally like a couple days ago, they overturned like a ruling that was same-sex was that banning same-sex marriage was unconstitutional in Japanese constitution. They just overturned it. Like that's still on the table for them to actually make it a legal thing instead of it being banned and not allowed.
Yeah, because a YouTuber Aiden Paladin she produced she did like a 2-hour digital video essay. Mm-hmm. Talking about a lot of the things, like the things that did help LGBT rights movement is one, like just good representation in media. So like people just saw like that one good one and like bring it up and, you know, like going after like, yes, the trope of having who is LGBT just being the villain all the time did also put a bad taste in the opinions of people. So like having them be like the hero or just up character like helped a lot with opinion. So. You know, and it's just a study that they did in the 90s. They wish they could. They're it is dated. Like you read the study, it seems it's like they're trying to do a good thing, but it reads offensive as heck.
That it's one of those things that it's helping, but you can still see the tendrils of the culture still being there. Yeah. So, like for Witch of Mercury, there's a lot of tendrils that want that, even though the entire narrative literally calls these two characters. Bride and groom, these two female characters, bride and groom, and the entire narrative is about them being romantically interested in one another. There's a large swath of that community that's like, well, what about this other guy though? And he could be in there and have them both. Yeah. It's just part of this is one of the things that like that culture does. When insert the anime self. Yeah. When the anime Executioner in a Way of Life came out. The first episode, this is set in the isekai world, and the main character is a person that lives in that world. Like, an isekai generic male character shows up, she shows him around this world, and when he discovers what his super magic power is gonna be, he's like, yes, I got this power, I'm gonna take over everything, and she stabs him in the head and immediately kills him. So they build this generic isekai male self-insert character and immediately show that he's going to be evil, and then she kills him. And and some of the people who watched it were very, very upset that they killed the male self-insert character.
Because they emotionally gravitated on
exactly.
Him.
Immediately. And that character has no attachment to the plot moving forward. That male character who dies at the beginning has no effect in the narrative moving forward. They show that people can be brought into the world, and this character kills those people that get brought into this world.
So he wasn't really like fridged. He was more like, you know, like
he was the setup to understand what the character's motivation is.
Not even
which
the
is hilarious. It's hilarious that because that's what happens. And so many people were massively upset. There was a bunch of outcry online. It's like, how dare they kill this guy? I was attached to him. I want to be him. I'm not going to watch this series ever again. Blah, blah, blah. What do you mean it's about two girls? That's stupid. It's like, bruh. You're not watching it for what the actual premise of these people who get brought into this world are fucking up this world. They have created a they have made this world a disaster. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have the four human mistakes as a massive part of the narrative. That one of the people had the ability that had a sword that turned anything it touched into salt. It turned an entire continent into salt, and it's dissolving in the ocean
slowly but surely. Exactly. And the water eventually on the planet is going to be junk.
So all the people that were on that continent, mm-hmm, turned to salt.
Salt. You're a tree.
Everything you're a tree. Is salt.
You're salt.
But people who are like, "Whoops! They killed the dude. Fuck that." You're missing the actual interesting part of the narrative. This is what happens when a bunch of people that these isekai characters keep invading this fantasy world and affecting it in a negative manner.
So what I hear is, it's not just Americans that could have some awful opinions.
Oh, people, absolutely.
In other country have awful opinions.
Oh, it's the worst. Some of them have some worst opinions.
Yeah, some god country out there that just has all the best opinions.
No. But it's also very interesting to see the difference in representation based on which part of the East creates the manga. Because, mm-hmm, when you look at the difference between Korean, Chinese, and Japanese, it's like a scale. Where the Chinese, if the characters are the same gender, if they kiss, they put like a white spot over their lips. So you can't see them actually kissing.
Yeah,
even though the entire narrative is based around it, they purposely go out of the way to make sure that you don't see it.
Yeah, that can't happen.
Japan is much more like a very solid middle ground where it will show it, but it also won't show it. There's a lot of ideology about stereotypes that are attached to things like Yuri, which is that since it's two girls, it's supposed to be wholesome and light and fluffy and sweet. And when you have something like that isn't that, people are like, "Oh, what the heck? This is this what it's supposed to be, though." But it's not. When you watch Witch of Mercury and people are getting killed by, getting squashed by giant robot hands,
some would call that a war crime. It's also a war crime. You're not allowed to attack humans with a mechanized thing. Yeah, those are war crimes.
And then you look at Korea, which will show just about everything except for penetration. Like, it's okay. Insane. Like that, their level of censorship is like one. If it's a scale of 1 to 10, it's like one, maybe a half. They will basically show everything but the penetration.
I'm shocked. Shocked. Not that shocked.
Not that shocked.
Actually, not that shocked.
And it's crazy to see that, like, how the representation of the Eastern cultures are massively different, and a way to seeing it just through like a visual means of looking at anime or manga, mm-hmm, to seeing that how different two stories can be when you read them back to back to back. And how much more they're willing to show and allow them to just be people. Mm. Because, yeah, there is smut made for everybody.
Well, yeah. Come on.
And Korea just really likes to make it for every way anybody swings.
That seems unrealistic. I would never go to Korea for my smut. I see that much.
Closest 14 tabs. Man, there's plenty of representation all over the place. Like in in Bloomin' to You, one of the characters, Maki, he is asexual. He openly states that he's ace. There's a moment in the show where he talks about how he when people are interested in him, he's like gross, but he likes when other people are together. So he likes to play matchmaker because he likes to watch two people be in love, but he doesn't want to be in love himself.
Mm-hmm. And then we say ace of clubs, ace of spades, ace of hearts.
Oh my god.
No, okay. All right, yeah.
Aromantic asexual.
Well, we're gonna get killed.
No shuffle of lines here, Harry.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, like the ace, there's some intergender characters that are both that aren't just stereotyped.
Yeah. So what do you see the future of it going from here?
Hopefully it just keeps going. The representation just keeps happening. Like every season, there seems to be more and more that are coming out. Like this season, not only is there Witch of Mercury, but there's also Yuri Is My Job and Birdie's Wing, which, by the way, is a golf manga that is played like that. The whole premise is basically golf, but Yu-Gi-Oh.
Okay.
Think about how over and top and ridiculous Yu-Gi-Oh is. Mm-hmm. But make that golf.
Mm. Okay. All right.
You have to hit this golf ball through the middle of this speeding train and hit that thing on the other side of the train.
Is there any Millennium Golf Clubs?
Literally a person makes a giant underground facility that they can control how the golf course changes. And it's like an interchangeable golf course that like electronically morphs to what they need it to be. One of the golfers literally tries to poison another golfer. It's like, it's batshit insane.
Okay.
It's batshit insane.
A little crazy there. So, like, so you see it more like continue to grow on it. Like, so, yeah. Like, Gundam Witch Mercury, like, that is not like Gundam is not like, they've toyed around with that idea, but they've never gone into it since Witch of Mercury. But you're noticing, but to me, it was the first time I ever saw it, like, it's something like, quote unquote, a mainstream particular genre that just did it instead of like they're picking
its own thing.
Foresee that, you know, coming through.
So far the ones that people have really been enjoying are the ones that are the combination of both being something else and Yuri or Yaoi or things along those lines, because those, while it has more mass appeal to it, but it allows more people to get brought in because they're willing, I feel like they're more willing to give it a chance.
Because, like,
right.
Because I'm saying, because Oda just drops it in One Piece, like he's trying to get fired, like once in a while.
I mean, yeah, he did just go, yeah, she's trans. What about it?
Fire me. I dare you.
He's like, yeah, she's trans. What about it? I don't care.
Don't care. Next.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I don't care. What about it? I will do what I want. You guys want to know what's in the One Piece, so I get to do what I want.
Yes, we do, and how dare you have Luffy smash the cup that's leading to the One Piece? That ticks some people. Anyways,
it feels like more people are willing to give it a chance when it's something that they were already interested in. Like, I feel like the reason Magical Revolution was so popular was because of the setting, and it's a fantasy world with a lot of magitech, like magical technology and manipulating it, and also how their magic system works and all the other aspects of it that made people want to keep coming and coming back and watching more and more of it because of strong character writing as well as the base setting just being strong in and of itself.
Yeah.
All right. And I feel like that the people are more willing to give that stuff a chance. That's why I feel like Witch of Mercury has been going so. The writing of Witch of Mercury is really good. Yes. I watched the first half of Witch of Mercury. I'm waiting for the second half to be done. While I'm just constantly getting information drip fed to me. about what's happening, and you're getting information drip fed to you through me, through memes that I find that I force upon you.
She's like, Gundam, explain this. What is going on? So, Reinhold, so we have abused you with Japanese anime for about an hour.
45 minutes.
A little bit of American culture in there, too. A little bit.
Yeah. So, what do you think? Surprised to see that the Japanese anime has all this diversity in it? Or are you now you're going to swear off anime because it's
actually woke? I'm actually surprised that it's not as much as I thought it was going to be, that there's still a lot of repression and kind of conservative thinking going on in the culture there. So,
Yeah. And when we say conservative, we mean their version of conservative in Japan, not the trash stuff that's here in the United States. I mean, it's not trash. It's trash. Anyways,
yeah, it's always interesting to talk about these kind of things because while as of late it's been exponentially expanding with, you know, as I said before, like last year, for over 10 years there were only 10 Yuri animes, period. And then the past 2 years there have been like 10 in and of itself. I'm pretty sure they announced like another 7 coming out within the next like 6 months.
As everyone gets close, there's like a huge appetite for it, and also like hey, I think also as the younger generation in Japan starts getting more of the reins, they're understanding that if the product is good and Japanese people like it, and they can get it out to people, they will actually pay good money for it to read it legally.
They'll pay good money to read it legally. They'll pay good money to watch it legally. They'll pay good money to buy the Gunpla for the main Gundam of Witch of Mercury, by the way, which was the bestseller, the best selling Gunpla they had in 10 years.
It keeps selling out.
Yeah, I mean, but that I feel like Witch of Mercury also shows that it can work. That people that are unsure about it can see that, oh, this is a thing that it's still massively popular with multiple different groups of people, and it's made Gundam the third most profitable thing behind like DBZ and like I can't remember what the other one is for Namco Bandai, but yeah, it's behind like Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, because like before, like even for Gundam, like one of the most popular thing was just the cute little SD Gundams. You know, that was their most popular thing that they've done for a while, and people love this. I hate the SD Gundam stuff. I hate it. I understand it, but it's a money printer for them. So
yeah.
I'm all rooting for Witch of Mercury. So the SD stuff, super deformed, the little tiny miniature Gundams. I hate that series. I hate it. It makes them so much money, and I hate it so much.
Yeah, it's as long as they keep trying and are still willing to keep taking chances on stories to be told. Like Executioner: A Way of Life was a chance. You are literally purposely antagonizing the people that are gonna watch your show in the first episode.
Yes.
And you believe in the strength of your narrative enough to start like that and keep going from there. Another show that I also forced producer Paul to watch was, you know, Demon Girl Next Door, which is like a little silly slice of life show about a girl who wakes up and finds out that her dad was a demon and she inherited his demon blood, and she has to deal with magical girls that want to hunt her down. But she's so incompetent, the magical girl just goes, I'm just going to train you instead because you suck. You basically are the worst. You can't do anything.
This fight should be epic, but it's going to be boring.
Oh, it's so, like, literally the first thing that happens is the magical girl saves the demon girl from getting hit by a bus. And she goes, are you okay? I got you. It's fine. It's such a silly series. It's hilarious. But it's always good to when things get the opportunity to shine. the fact that Skip and Loafer is massively popular this season, people are really enjoying it, and just one of the characters is a trans woman that is integral to the plot and is as an important character in one of these people's lives and is the person they look up to, massively helps as well.
All right. Well, before this episode gets too long in the tooth, we should probably, you know, put a cap on it and end this and stop this show. I'd like to thank everyone who got this far in the episode. To keep in mind, this is a live recorded podcast. It's done on Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please come hang out with us. Come in the chat room. Talk with us. You know, we have a lot of fun. You know, it's, you know, we appreciate you listening to this as an audio podcast word, but no, we prefer coming out live, having a conversation with hanging out with us. So please come out. We're on twitch.tv.
Where's the live at?
twitch.tv/wearelibertarians.com. We're also at the youtube.com/wearelibertarians. So please come game hang out with us. At least for, you know, while we're here, you know, it's come hang out. It's a lot of fun. Trust me. People love hanging out in the chat, talking with us. So, you know, it's fun. It's fun. Trust me, it's fun. All right. Do you guys have anything you guys want to, like, support, like, shut up before we, like, end this episode?
Not tonight. I'm just looking for my pillow right now. I'm getting really, really tired for some reason. It's only been a 20-hour day, so for me.
Just go watch Witcher Mercury because it's becoming very, very Gundam if you're a Gundam fan, and it had so much angst already if you're a Yuri fan. So,
Bye, everybody.
Bye.